Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another evening of Exploring with Ekphrasis with Captain B2, Sim Wah, and my co-pilot, Dan Duchino. Are you strapped in?
Hey.
I am here. I'm strapped in and co-piloting, which means
right.
I sit there and just wait for you to have to go to the bathroom, and then I jump in. That's what co-pilots do now, I think.
I take care of that business before I get in the cockpit.
Oh, there you go.
That is, yeah.
So what's happening?
Well, not much. Just been working on, there's a good segue. I can talk about it after the show, but I'll talk about it now, too. If everyone looks at the page that we have, the Silent Digital Poetry of Daria Petrilli, you will also see that I put a little note on there as a tickler or a teaser. During the week, I created a new type of contest series for this program, and I've entitled it Too Much of a Good Thing. And this is for artists that I happened across that are so prolific, they're so abundant, and their work is so amazing that one contest just won't satisfy. It'll be like eating one salted peanut. So what we're going to do next month, starting next month, is we're going to have a doubleheader entitled Too Much of a Good Thing, and we're going to feature the art of Tomas Alan Coppera. And I've actually had a couple of poets out there write into me and say, oh, I love this guy. So we've got some folks just chomping at the bit waiting for the contests to get posted. So I've been working on that and selecting music for those contests. And also, and I'll do this as a quick segue too, but I'll mention it again. Because next month, May, is Memorial Day, I've been working on a special Memorial Day program for us because we're the Saturday right before Memorial Day. Lucky us. And so I am going to feature not just one artist, but falling back on my experience working at the Marine Corps Museum, I'm going to pull up a bunch of pieces from different combat artists and combat photographers. So you're going to have a whole plethora of work out there. And I'm going to keep it to World War I and World War II and after. So Vietnam, the Gulf, things like that. But that will be our last program in May. So that's something to look forward to. So that's what's going on. Aren't you glad you asked?
No, that would be great. I'm excited for that one. I actually have I might actually even just read one for our show. I have I wrote a poem a little while back about an adventure my father had. He was in World War II. He was a Marine. So I'll actually read for that in honor of my father. So I'm very excited about that. Absolutely.
I have one also I wrote when I was a body escort. That was an experience that I had actually I'd completely forgotten about until I pulled up a movie called Following Chase or something like that. It was Kevin Bacon, and he plays a lieutenant colonel who escorts a young Marine home from the Gulf. And I turned that. I was very glad that I was watching it by myself because I didn't stop sobbing for an hour and a half because everything that I had gone through as a body escort came back to me in watching that film. It was like PTSD almost. That's a short piece. I'm going to read that. And I'm looking forward to it also because I have been looking out there and finding some tremendous artists. And interestingly enough, some of the artists I actually knew personally. Charles Waterhouse, Donna Neary. These are all Marine Corps artists, combat artists.
Oh,
I knew Donna
great.
Neary personally. I knew Charles Waterhouse, Frizzelli, Gish, Jack Dyer I actually worked for. So there's going to be some pieces out there that have some personal meaning for me. There's some tremendous combat art out there. And combat artists, we'll touch on this on the show, actually they didn't start doing combat artwork until World War II. And they created had combat artists, but it wasn't designated as an MOS, a military occupational specialty, until Vietnam. So, interesting background.
I wish you were sharing our camera. I'm standing where I usually work, and behind me is a picture of my father's at the aircraft carrier he was on as a Marine. I'm not sure where it's. I believe it was just from a. Might have been from a. Newspaper, I'm not sure, but it's like a black and white pencil drawing. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
Have it hanging behind me. But no, that's great. It's going to be what's that? Sorry.
Yeah. So that's one's really going to be labor intensive. That's a labor of love for me. So unfortunately, as I've warned you, the intro music is going to be a little bit longer than usual. So, but it's
okay.
Perfect. Yeah. So
hey,
as
music.
Was
I like
this
music.
Intro music a little bit longer, but I specifically selected the Flower Duet from Léo Delibes' Lakmé, which was the only opera that Delibes wrote. And because we're featuring a female artist this evening, and because her work is predominantly of female subjects, and so I thought that would be an appropriate intro. It's also a very beautiful duet. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. And with that, let's launch into tonight's program. We don't have a lot of entries for this contest, but we have some carryovers from last, so that should fill up our time.
Yeah, I think we're good. We got 11 or so from this one, but we have a bunch of carryovers. So I think we are good.
We have 12.
And 12, that's right, 12, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had a couple of late ones, so but they're all in, so we're good to go. A couple of quick things before we get started. So we do have, at least I know Phil is listening in, so thanks, Phil. And Gray behind the scenes, Gray is the George Lucas to our Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. So thank you, Gray.
God bless Gray. I'm going to have to come out my good list.
yeah, he's on the good list. He's on the good boy list for Santa Claus this year, that's for sure.
And
so, yes.
Hopefully we'll have maybe Robbie will call in or someone else will call in. If not, it would just be us talking to each other. So, but that time will also be filled by some really dynamite poetry. Had some great entries.
Oh, absolutely.
This time.
Yeah, anybody who's there, don't be shy. Call in, jump on the board. We love guest stars.
Please
so
do.
That'd be great. So usually I say ladies first, but I'm going to start this one only because this is written by a guy and the next one's written by a girl. So we'll just kind of go boy girl that way.
I have no problem with that.
Excellent. So I will read this first one, and did I post it? I already forgot, and I did it 2 seconds ago. Yes, and we're going to have a really special guest star because Faziana just posted. Faziana just posted she's listening now, but she will call after she eats. That is, Faziana, you are putting things in the correct order, let me tell you. Food always comes first, so go for it. And Scott Sharp is on the board as well, too. So Scott and so we'll save Faziana for when she comes on, she can read hers, and then Scott will make sure we get to yours. I'm assuming Scott wrote. Scott writes for all of them, which we love. But we do have a bunch from last week we got to get to first, so let's crank it out here. And I posted one, but I'll post it again because the board is now really busy, so just to make sure everybody gets it. So this one I'm going to read from last week is by Sam Sampson called Shadows Called. Silent power churns over a dying city, illuminating quick-falling snow. In the season of unseasonable cold, shadows called, return to the light. Whispers of forgotten memories under harsh neon lights, spoken in ancient tongues, shadows called, return to the light. Time stands still for just a moment. Soon dawn will break over rotted towers. One remains to seal their fate. Shadows called, return to the light. End poem. Nice little brevity to start us off. What did you think, Bobby?
I enjoyed the way he viewed the prompt. This prompt was slightly different from the other artwork by the artist, and I inserted that with that in mind, hoping that someone would light on it and find something in it that spoke to them, and I'm very glad that he did. Silent power churns over a dying city, illuminating quick falling snow. I mean, just as you look at the prompt and his interpretation of the prompt, I think is just spot on. I mean, and just whispers of forgotten memories under harsh neon lights. I mean, in the first, second, and third stanza, he's captured. He's captured the essence of that artwork. Time stands still for just a moment. Soon dawn will break over rotted towers. But just a brevity with so much visual imagery, and all conjured by this particular, inspired by this particular piece of artwork. So I really enjoyed this brevity. I think it was it said a lot for its 12 lines. So well done, extremely well done.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on there. It was great. I'm becoming more and more a fan of the brevity, which is hard for me to write just because I can't stop.
So
I'm always impressed with people that can do well. And I did like this, and I like the take, because to me it was a different take than I would have thought. Now I read this, I can see it a little differently, and I like kind of the negative aspect towards the city. The silent power, I think, is just a very simple but very great way to talk about that. You know, you're sitting in the city, and it's not that, you know, you're walking down wherever, Times Square and all this stuff, and you see everything, and you kind of associate the lights with the noise, but it really has nothing to do with it. It's the silent power over a dying city. And I like how it's kind of returning to the light, which is kind of, I believe, is that light in the middle, which is almost like a starlight. So I like how he's kind of he's focusing on that and just kind of seeing, like, you know, get out of this dying, dead, you know, silent power and go back to the starlight that should be taking over the night. So beautiful job, Sam. I love that. I thought it was great. Awesome. Awesome. And we are moving right along. We have one for you now. Oh, and I love this picture that the prompt was. So those following along.
Okay.
Check out the prompt on this one. This one is by Vamped Vixen. And I'm posting it right now.
Okay.
And before you start real quick, Faziana said that image reminded her of Blade Runner, which, yeah, I didn't think about that, but
yes.
It definitely does.
I have to agree. It did for me also. It did for me also. And so I like where Sam Samson went with that piece. So have
Absolutely.
You posted?
I did. I just posted.
Okay. And there it is. Oh, good. I really wanted to read this one. Yeah, okay, it's loading right now. My computer has been lethargic today. I don't know whether it thinks just because it's Saturday, it gets a day off. It's been notional, so I've had to whack it a couple times. It's what we engineers call percussive maintenance.
Exactly.
Okay.
If your computer doesn't work, hit the keys as fast as you can, as hard as you can. Yeah, that doesn't work.
Percussive maintenance. Okay,
that's right.
Here we go. Yeah, this one really spoke to me, her piece, and I really liked how she interpreted the image. I thought it was inspired. Okay, so we have In My Father's Footsteps. Serenity cascades the nightly sky, aquamarine waves on the edge of the world, skirting the mountains high. Aurora borealis and whitish wisps and snow crunch under my well-traveled boots. And it's just like you told me, Dad. The sky is dancing, folding into heaven. For years, your aging eyes lit up with memories, telling me tales of the Arctic tundra, the bugling of caribou herds, Inuit guides out on the icy glaciers of Canada. And we added it to our list for later, even though I hate the cold, even though you would die before we could. But if these words reach you as I stand here shivering under the stars, lost in this whirlpool of light, gazing into this dream you wanted me to share with you, I'll shout it to the heavens and hope you hear. I traveled the world. Your fire never faded. I carry its embers with me. I sang Hotel California on road trips through the Shenandoah Mountains, voice carrying, matching your notes in harmony. I've dipped my toes into the Niagara River, hiked my way over the Adirondack Trail, following in my father's footsteps, sailed a sunset ocean off the Florida coast, swapped tales with an old man on a dolphin tour, and shared with him your hunting stories. I am your living legacy, and I have seen this whole wide world you led me to, running full tilt towards the amber waves of grain, purple mountains majesties. I've been everywhere, man. I think you and Johnny Cash would approve. And poem.
Excellent read. Thank you. And Scott is, I think I said hanging out. He said he's enjoying a nice, I'm assuming, adult beverage. So that's, I'm doing the same. I'm doing
me
the
too.
Same thing, Scott. Yep, me too.
Not sure yet.
So yeah, this is a great what a great personal take on the prompt and the picture itself. I mean, looking at it, I can almost see kind of where she's getting her father off of this, because you know it's kind of like a science fiction type of a lookout, but it's really almost looking like into heaven. So it's almost like she's standing there at the edge, kind of both looking at the landscape and nature, but then thinking about her father up in, you know, who sounds like has passed away. And there's some fantastic descriptions in here. I really, the one that stuck out to me was the bugling of caribou herds. I thought was just a great description. And Faizian, if you're listening, $10 says that you like that one too, if I know you or not. So that made me think of you as well too. But I like that. That was great. And just all the other, then you know, kind of went to places I didn't think, but it was beautiful the way they did. Like, again, I like this because it was surprising me the whole way. And then she started getting into, you know, the pop culture things. And I really like the I've Been Everywhere Man, the Johnny Cash reference. I thought at the end was great. But all the different places that she's thinking of that her father was going to take her, and you know, wherever she goes, she's always thinking like, hey, this is for you, Dad, right?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going here. And when I go, please, you know, I went to the Shenandoah Mountains and Niagara River at Adirondack Trail. Very impressive if you did that whole thing. And following in her father's footsteps. So he's still motivating her to kind of do all these great
yeah.
things.
And
beautiful job, Van Vixen. And amazing read as always, Bobby.
Oh, thank you.
From you.
Well, this one touched me personally because I was a daddy's girl. I've said half jokingly many times to my friends that my father was a great storyteller, and I inherited that gene from him, unfortunately. My father, as a little girl, I used to be put to, most little girls get put to bed with stories that start once upon a time. And I got put to bed with stories that started now. This is no bullshit. And my father would tell me, he would tell me stories of his youth. He would tell me stories of when he was in CCC. He was telling me stories of when he was in the Marine Corps, when he worked in the stockyards, when he worked in the steel foundry. I got to travel with him. When he was walking patrol in the jungle, all the different things that I got to see through his eyes, and she's really invoked all of the senses in this piece. You've got snow crunch, you've got auditory, you've got the caribou, like you said, the bugling of the caribou herds. You've got the icy glaciers and the cold. You can almost smell it. You can see the whitish wisp. Just from this particular image, the storytelling in this is so well done. I mean, it grabs you and it carries you along. I sang Hotel California on road trips through the Shenandoah Mountains. I am your and that last and I know our Weaver of Dreams likes last stanzas. As I am your living legacy, and I've seen this whole wide world you led me to, running full tilt toward the amber waves of grain and purple mountain majesties. And I've done the same thing. I've there's only two continents I've missed. One of them I'm not particularly interested in because it's too damn cold. I've only missed two continents. I've been all over the world and have always thought of my father on my travels.
Assuming Antarctica and Australia.
Yeah, very good. Good guess.
That's right.
And I just, he was a man who lived his life to the utmost. I mean, he just every moment was lived. It was not a dress rehearsal to him, and I learned to just go full tilt as much as I could with the energy I had, which unfortunately is not as much energy as I had before, but still. And this was our by the way our this was our silver medal winner because of the just a superb storytelling, the interpretation of the prompt, just overall hell of a piece of writing. So.
Absolutely. Cool.
Who's next?
So we're gonna crank along here, which we should have a SoundCloud for. Eric Svensson. A SoundCloud from last time.
Love it. Crank it up.
Excited to hear Eric's voice as always, so here we go. Should be coming up soon.
Night school. Need a lift. Do the night shift. Lucid dreaming. Secret passageway that parts space-time. Just before you nod off at night, pose the question, set the intention. Much later, enveloped in sublime sleep, you will meander down that passageway. Slip in between space-time. Pose question will be answered. Intention set will manifest. Ask and it will be given. Knock and the door will open. Night school teaching endless. Curriculums await exploration. Pose the question. Set the intention. Enter the library labyrinth. Hazy mind maze soon clears. If you can dream it, you can do it. This I learned as a little bookworm cad. For the life of me, I couldn't ride my bicycle. All in sundry assisted, but my imbalance persisted. Distraught, I went to bed that night. Hot tears beseeched a miracle. Lo and behold, lucid dream showed me merrily cycling around the farmyard. Next morning, as soon as the first cock crowed, I took my bicycle, got on, and never ever looked back. Well, only when cyclical, cynical, world-weary, dreary disbelief interferes. End home.
Excellent, Eric. And Eric is, I've said this before, he's one of those guys I could just listen to talk all day. He reminds me of a cross between Alfred Hitchcock and somebody performing Shakespeare in like the 1600s. That's what I hear when I hear Eric, and I love it. I could listen to him all day. He's one of those guys that I think, based on his poetry, I would love to sit down and have a cup of tea with him and not even speak, just listen to him. Just listen to him tell me things all day. You know, but Bobby, why don't you ladies first start us off with this one?
I agree. He has a unique delivery. It has a rhythmic cadence, and it makes me wonder if that's how he listens to himself, how he reads it to himself, or how he thinks of it, because you know, sometimes we read differently to ourselves than we read aloud. But I always like his cadence. I like his delivery, and his elocution is always so clear. And this was an honorable mention. I have to say, we had a little consternation from one of the writers that they didn't place. I have to say honestly, the judging is subjective, and that's as with all contests. And sometimes it is exceedingly difficult to order these things in terms of their excellence, because they're all so goddamn good, you know.
It is
putting one in front of the other. I sometimes feel bad, and it's just a whisker's breadth difference between, you know, gold and silver, or between silver and bronze, or between bronze and an honorable mention.
Yeah, it really is. If I can, let me
Yeah, I've actually written to Kevin and asked him if we could have more than one, more than five honorable mentions, and he said no. So,
yeah, before you comment, Paul, let me comment on that real quick too. So yeah, anybody that's listening, like when I do personal comments now, I've actually only been doing eight because I feel bad not giving them. And to me, the poetry, it's so hard to judge. It's like somebody tries to say, who's the better guitar player, you know, Eric Clapton, you know, Steve Vai or Jimi Hendrix. Like, you can't pick one. They're just so different. You can't do it. And poetry is the same way. But we do pick people. And when we do the contest, we can't just have eight. We need a lot more. So we need to open it up to more. And, you know, we pick on a variety of, reasons and who we think, maybe did the prompts the best. And, they're all really, really good. So don't, you know, I was actually just in a contest that I wrote something that was, I thought was great. And I came in literally last and I was like, here you go. It's just, I just didn't reach the people. That was me. And there you go. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. It's whatever speaks to them. And I tell you, honestly, my criteria when I'm judging our contests primarily is the interpretation of the prompt because our contests are artwork driven and it is exploring ekphrasis. I weigh heavily on the interpretation of the prompt and
absolutely.
I also on uniqueness. Have they taken it in a direction that was totally unexpected? Imagination and writing style and vocabulary, and some
absolutely.
People, this contest that we're finishing up on, the gold was Stellina and Arcana, and because of the complexity of what they had created, it was just far and away. The
yes.
best piece up there. Yeah.
Don't be discouraged, anyone, and keep going, definitely. But, didn't mean to interrupt if you want to comment on Eric's.
Yeah, that's why I do the overflow honorable mentions. They're not official, but they're my way of complimenting the writers that I can't give awards to the fact that their writing is the excellence of their writing. So apparently someone didn't view it that way, but, I can understand that because I've also, like you, I've read things. I thought, man, this is gold. And it's like it doesn't even get noticed. Man, this was good. But it's all subjective. It's all subjective. And everybody has their moment. And what speaks to differently speaks to one person doesn't speak to another. And that's why we have all the different kind of artists that we have. So with that, who we got next?
Cool. Let's go on here. Who do we have? I'll read this one. And I will say one last thing on that. There was one. There's been a couple of people that I've done a couple of contests and never placed. And they said, here's one. I'm going to write for every single contest of theirs until I actually get one. I'm like, I'm determined to impress this person. And so sometimes I actually take it as a challenge to let me see if I can write to this person's style and I would like study their style and kind of see and because everybody does you know they all everybody relates to different things excellent Eric, thank you. And we have one I think it's my turn now. I'm gonna read. I'm gonna post this here.
I think so. Yes.
There we go. This is by and before I do somebody's
oh,
at
the
door.
Is that the
door? Let's go answer it.
Hello.
Welcome.
Faziana, what's happening?
I'm happy to be here. I've been listening, but I didn't think you want to hear me chew, so I waited till I was, focused.
we appreciate
sure
that.
Your chewing probably surpasses other people's speaking skills, so I wouldn't,
Oh, yes, I communicate through it,
So before I'll
this Saturday.
I'm very happy to have you.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
I was just going to say, I'm going to be, before I read this, I'm going to say how happy I am, because I have my two hosts together. This is like one giant show for me. I get to have my two hosts together here in one show. That's just so much fun.
We can make a dance sandwich.
I'm telling you. We won't go that far. This isn't the after midnight show. This is just the PG show. So
I think he's blushing, Faizy.
I think so too.
Yeah, a little bit. That's okay. All right. I'll be the adult here and refocus us back where we should be. Let's see. I mean, did I post it? I did. All right. This is by Eva Palhazi. It is called On Way Home. The gray afternoon unfolds its leaden lopes before my window, before my brain. And soon, like liquid ropes of pain, late winter rains meander downward the window pane. Silent solitude spreads all over my room, and rainy heartbeats croon, dreaming of only the cloud-covered moon as I dissolve myself in this evening gloom. For long my footprints still lie along the path inward, while out there March pours its wrath from the night's lachrymose dome. And slowly I drift over the threshold of my inner home. End poem. Great rhyming. That was a lot of fun. And Faiziana, as our guest, you can start.
I really loved this. I think that it did a great job of connecting the elements of the photo, the natural parts with the feelings that it represents. Like looking at the image with the window that is overflowing with water, to talk about it as, you know, being in the window and in the brain. I like the liquid ropes of pain. And the idea of rains meandering, like meander is such a cool word choice for right there, because it just really sets the pace. Not normally what you would use to describe rain, but I really like that choice. And then to talk about like the sounds, it's silent, but when it's so silent, you can actually hear other things. I like rainy heartbeats because sometimes if it's rhythmic enough, the rain on the window can be almost like that telltale heart in Edgar Allan Poe's Floor. You can hear your heart pounding in your ears when it's really quiet. Or maybe that's just my messed up blood pressure. I don't know. But to me, it seems like it really connects that feeling that you see in the image. I think my favorite part was, as I dissolve myself into this evening gloom, and then it talks about going inward, along the path inward, and then she's just going into herself. So she's walking towards that door, but not the door of leaving her home, the door of leaving the corporeal world and just being within her mind is how I would interpret that. So I think this is a really cool response to the image. It has that same kind of tone, and yet it has a creative twist to it. Well done.
Corporeal, so like a true librarian. Thank you, Faiziana. Excellent. And Bobby, go for it. Oh, Bobby's got the mutating monster she's fighting. And I think the mute monster might be winning. Bobby, are you still there?
I am. I was dropped during the reading, and I dialed back in, and Gray just unmuted me. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Technology is having its way with me. The technology hobgoblins are having their way with me. I agree with
right,
you. The word choices in this are excellent. They're very expressive. Their precision, like she said, winter rain meanders down the window. Which, if you watch rain, it does. The raindrops will, when they hit the pane, will wander down his meandering. Rainy heartbeats croon, dreaming of only the cloud-covered moon. The rhyming in it, it's a very delicately written piece. And like even toward the end, from, let's see, for long my footprints lie still along the path, and while out there March pours its wrath from the night's lachrymose dome. Beautiful choice of words, lachrymose being weeping or teary or inducing weeping. Great choice of words. I agree. The interpretation of the prompt, the details that were picked up in it, and the interpretation of it. I was really sorry I couldn't give this one an award, because I really thought it deserved it. But it was, I think it was one of our overflow honorable mentions. Matter of fact, I'm sure of it. But it's just a beautifully written piece. The rhythm of it, the cadence of it, just from start to finish, an exquisite write.
Absolutely, yeah, it was great. All right, we're gonna crank along here. We still have a couple more from the last time. Oh, and we're getting the board's getting to be a party over here now. So, Robbie joined and Errant Panther joined as well too. Errant said, "Just catching a few minutes of the show between household duties." There you go. Got to do those household duties. That's for sure. I watch my wife watches Hoarders. If anybody, I don't know anybody outside the United States knows what that show is, but she does it just to make sure she's like, it's like a, you know, a warning to her, not so that we can keep our house clean. So you got to do those duties. And Faziana, since you just joined, you haven't got to read yet. If you wouldn't mind reading this one by Myriad Dark, I just posted, that would be great.
All right. This is Surreality by Myriad Dark. Watching glowering cloud cover that settled around her head to get a better understanding in the books she might have read. It is their unstable nature that makes it hard to fathom in the great eye of Horus looking down on abandon. So I lit my votive candle, consigning prayers into the night as they floated over the rooftops, ghostly whispers to entice. I read poetry to an empty room, words that echoed eerily. Someone lit a flaming pie descending in perpetuity. We once listened to his music, composed from the Book of the Dead. It was sung in hieroglyphics, hung like a halo round his head. Was it annunciation that left us in a whirl? Another spatial incarnation, glowering like a pearl. So I begged for his forgiveness, throwing coins in the wishing well. He said he had to catch a number 9, now leaving from Dingley Dell. I spoke to him of Lewis Carroll and how he wrote his themes. He looked at me sheepishly and referred me to his number 9 dream. I saw her weathered features and astronomical forms. She was dancing among the raindrops between the lightning and the storm. End poem.
Great read, Faziana. That was fantastic. And I'll just say real quick that I thought the rhyming was great, and I'm actually interested to hear Faziana's comments on this, because I bet you there's a bunch of literary references I did not get, and I bet you, and I also bet that Bobby got a bunch of those too. So Bobby, what do you think?
Well, I think you ought to let Faziana go first, since she's the librarian. There are literary references.
Sure, if you'd like to, Faziana.
Sure. Pressure's on now. Like, well, no, I need to represent libraryness. Well, I mean, I like the Egyptian connection of Horus being mentioned there. I love the vocabulary that's used with, like, consigning and where is it? I don't know. There were words that I liked, and now I can't find them. But it keeps on with the Egyptian style when it's referencing, like, sung in hieroglyphics and referencing the Book of the Dead. Lots of Egyptian kind of mythic feel there. And then, of course, Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland's author. So when he looks at him sheepishly after that, it kind of made me picture the Cheshire Cat, his expression.
Yes.
So that's where I kind of went with the Lewis Carroll reference. It's a great piece. I thought it had some really clever wording. And I like that it has this natural kind of rhythm to it. It felt like it really flowed to read. I like that last line, between the lightning and the storm.
Yeah.
And I mean, lightning is part of the storm, but between the lightning and the storm, it's just a beautiful way of saying it. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks, Fabiana. And Robbie said, it was Canadian Independent Bookstores Day. That's a great day to have. He won a prize, got a book, and he said it's also International Astronomy Today and lots of his favorite things, and he really liked all the references and everything in the poem. So thanks, Robbie. So Bobby, from Robbie to Bobby. Bobby, go for it.
How melodic. I agree. Again, Aficiana, I think we're sharing brain cells this evening. I like watching glowering cloud cover that settled around her head to get her under better understanding of the book she might read. The cadence, the rhyming in it is spot on. It's got a very melodic, read to it, very melodic cadence. But I like that watching glowering cloud cover in the great eye of Horus looking down on Abaddon. Now, Horus being the god of war and the Egyptian god of war and the sky. And I like the way it was woven in there, and the looking down on Abaddon. Now, there's a great reference right there, because Abaddon is a place of destruction, or the realm of the dead. It's a Hebrew term. And I like the way it's woven into this piece. It's very very cleverly inserted in there. So I lit my votive candle, consigning prayers into the night as they floated over the rooftops, ghostly whispers to entice. Beautifully done. Like I said, the alliteration in this also is very nicely done. The early perpetuity, when we listen to music, it's a great storytelling. It's got some very, got some very intricate some references to, like, again, Lewis Carroll. And how he wrote of his themes, he looked at me sheepishly and referred to his number 9 dream. I like that, very clever. And the last, the last stanza. I saw her weathered features and astronomical forms. She was dancing among the raindrops between the lightning and the storm. That almost itself could be a brevity. It is so beautifully constructed. And the visual imagery in this is so beautifully done. So I beg for his forgiveness, throwing coins in the wishing well. I just, again, great storytelling, a lot of very complex references. Clearly, that Myriad Dark did some research when they wrote this. This was assembled. This was very carefully crafted. And it bears all the earmarks of it. And it was sung in hieroglyphics, hung like a halo around his head. But the references are just, it's a very rich piece, and which is why it got an honorable mention.
Excellent, excellent, very cool. And Robert was saying you bought an Octavia Butler book today. I have not heard of her. But since she's a sci-fi author and I'm a sci-fi nerd, I will go for her. But we're going to crank along here because we have one more left, and believe it or not, the show is almost halfway done, and we haven't started our new thing yet, contest yet. So let's, we're going along here. So this one, Bobby, is for you to read, and then we will get to our new contest. So I'm posting it right now by Just Elliott.
Okay, let me bring this up here. Close this one down so I don't confuse myself. Oh, yeah, I've already confused myself. That didn't take long. Okay, we have Justelio Lot. Forgive me, I've just butchered the poet's name. The memory smile. I close my eyes to see you smile, a memory that's lasted a while. Your laughter echoes in my mind, a joyous sound, one of a kind. In my thoughts, I see your face, a vision that time cannot erase. Your eyes are so bright, full of wonder, a sound that makes my heart thunder. I see you standing in the sun, your hair is a halo, as if you've won. Your smile is contagious, a ray of light, a beacon that guides me through the night. Though you're not here, you're always near, a source of strength, one without fear. I close my eyes and see you there, a reminder that life's worth the care. So keep on smiling, my dear one, and know that you are not alone, for in my heart you'll always be a cherished memory, forever free. And it's and interestingly enough, it's written to prompt 10, which was entitled, I Close My Eyes to See You Smile. End poem.
Excellent. Excellent, Bobby. Great read. And a great way to end the last contest in such a positive and beautiful poem.
Yes.
Thank you, just Elliot. We appreciate it. And let's start with you, Faithiana.
I think this is a beautiful tribute to someone. When someone is a reminder that life's worth the care, even after they're gone, that really says a lot about them. Like, to think of someone and know that, like, life is worth living because there are people like that, you know, whether she's passed away or she's just not in his life anymore, to have that kind of impact on him, she must be, like, wonderful. I like that it focuses on kind of her personality that comes through, even though it's describing, you know, physical, literal things. It's the things that show her kind of her spirit, the joyousness of her laughter, the warmth of her smile. She has, like, even describes her as like rays of sun, and you know, people who are like that, who just make you feel like the sun is exploding out of your chest, are just amazing. And even if it's not like a romantic kind of attraction, some people just have that glow about them, and it's not so much about their physical appearance. It's about you know, who they are. They just have this kind of happy, or even if it's not happy, just passionate about whatever they're talking about. When someone's really excited about something, it's contagious. It is just there. And I feel like she's one of those people. So to be able to close your eyes and imagine someone like that can just keep you going, even if they're not with you. So I think this is a really beautiful poem that captures that kind of person.
Yeah, I agree. I've always said that the, you know, the true nature of a person is really their legacy. You know, it's not necessarily what they're doing right now and all the life they're living and running around, but what are they leaving people afterwards? So great interpretation. And Bobby, you have two jobs. If you want to comment on this and then take us to the introduce the new contest.
Okay, I agree. This is a love letter. Even if the person is no longer a part of this person's life, they've left an indelible mark on them, and it's clear in this very well, nice, very 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 rhythmic, nice rhyming scheme. Very simple. It's a very simple, very straightforward piece. Very loving. Very emotive. This is someone who has touched his life, and this is a tribute to them. Though you're not here, you're always near, a source of strength, one without fear. And you could say, I close my eyes and see you there, a reminder that life's worth the care. And that could be a parent, a friend, a lost loved one. I think of several people that I could think of that are no longer among us that I could say that about. So this is a beautifully written, very touching, emotional piece. Very nicely done. Just Elliot. Okay.
And now we have the new contest. Yes.
Yes. Drum roll. Okay. Now we're going to launch into our new contest, which is the Silent Digital Poetry of Daria Petrilli. Petrilli, if you pronounce your Italian properly, when there's two consonants together, you linger over them. So you say Petrilli. And actually, the Silent Digital Poetry was a heading on one of the articles about her, Silent Poetry of Daria Petrilli. very vibrant artwork features women in period costume, and she a lot of birds, because she feels that especially the ibis, she feels it has almost a mystical quality to it, and she surrounds her subjects by ibises, parrots, geese, swans. As she says, that appear more to be like the heralds of purgatory than birds of paradise. She says, to me, these birds are messengers of primordial obsessions. That is why they appear in my work so often, which I thought was quite striking. So she definitely attaches a great deal of meaning to the particular types of birds that she includes in her artwork, and her artwork is rife with birds. I mean, just the first one, there's a swallow with it. It's almost like it reminds, the first one, if I had written to this, reminded me of Thumbelina, because of Thumbelina, I believe, gets a ride from a swallow that she saves from freezing. But if you look through it, it's just a lot of beautiful colors, pastels, birds, just wonderfully done, owls and what have you. So, and that's why our intro music was featured a duet with two female voices. I thought that was very apropos. So with that, and Daria's beautiful, beautiful artwork, and herself being lovely, because I featured, and I'm sure this has not escaped detection by our poets, but I try very hard when I'm constructing these contests to find a photograph or some kind of artwork depicting the artist. I like to include those in our header illustration there, and she's right up there at the top. So lovely lady, lovely artwork, and let's see what kind of lovely poetry we have to go with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's let's crank it along. And I already posted one. Where is it? It's still there. From Evan Panther, my friend from, I believe, if I remember, Australia, and he has a SoundCloud. So Woo! If we could play that, we start up with a SoundCloud, would be great. I believe he has one. I posted it yesterday.
Stool Pigeon by Evan Panther. Time has locked me here, under women pretense, holding only to your calls upon the wind. Dreams and fantasy merge in a mind that seems permitted to embrace only folly, as frivolous as that might be. Eyes closed and heart cold, even to the tenderest touch, is how life remains for now under a graying sky. Freedom of thought and future barely lift a solemn mood, praying to be your stool pigeon no more, hoping someone new turns the key. End poem.
Great read, and I'm guessing by that accent I was correct down in the great continent that we talked about earlier, Bobby's never been to, of Australia. Afasiana, let's go to you.
I love his accent. I love when he makes audience. not only is it a wonderful accent, but he's very clear. You know, sometimes if someone has an accent that's unfamiliar to us, it's hard to understand, but he enunciates so well. So love his audios. I really liked the way that he worded this, under whim and pretense, holding on only to your calls. I just thought that was a really beautiful way to say it. where is it? Eyes closed and heart cold, even to the tenderest touch. It's like not responsive to anything. And hoping someone new turns the key really, you know, acknowledges the image, which has that keyhole sort of where her heart would be, although she's kind of squeezing her breast in a way, but she's showing the keyhole, and the bird has that key. So she's waiting for someone who can get in properly with to her heart, find that key. I thought this was a very nice response to the prompt.
Absolutely, and I like that too, that to, even to the tenderest touch, which is true. No matter who is touches you, if they touch it tenderly, you pretty much you can feel it and respond to it. But I thought that was a really beautiful way to put it. Bobby, go for it.
Well, we've got a really fine brevity here. You know, if you're looking at it, we've got 16 lines. And the emotion that is packed into this with such skill, the interpretation of the prompt, I think, is spot on. I think it's inspired. It really is. Holding it under women pretense. I agree that the first stanza grabs you. Holding onto your coals upon the wind under women pretense. And as reading this, I find myself loath to pick any one particular part out of it, because the whole piece is so contiguous in its emotion, in its thoughts, in the way it expresses itself. The dreams and fantasy, mind and emerge in a mind that seems to permit embrace only folly. Great lines. Eyes closed and heart cold, even to the tenderest touch, is how life remains for now. Beautiful lines. Freedom of thought and future barely lift a solemn mood. The whole thing is just so well done. And I think a really very fine interpretation of this prompt, and it would not have occurred to me to take that prompt in this direction. Some of these prompts I put out there, and I look at them, I think to myself, gee, I hope someone writes to this, because I would love to hear how someone sees this. And you're right, the elocution in his SoundCloud, just the faintest hint of his accent, which is charming, but very well read and very well written.
Agreed. And I do love accents, probably because I'm from Boston, and that's like the worst accent ever. So I admire all other accents. But great read, and we do love his SoundClouds. All right, we are moving on with the world here, and we're going to keep going with people who are on the board. And Scott, hopefully you're still there. We're going to read yours now. Scott put a late entry. He didn't get to go in the contest, but he threw one in there for us. Anyway, well, threw one. He wrote one, I'm sure, with great care. And we're going to read it here. So let me get it. And I believe it is my turn. Unlocked by Scott Sharp. Postmortem, I sit in the keyhole to the urn of shared ashes, where we mix as one. Shattered stillness, no vessel, just presence. Waves roll along heart side, white-capped bay of modern times. Castle on a hill, picturesque. Shadow and light, clouds at battle, morning and night. The moments we mourn, discussions of Shakespeare. Shopping, rue, crimu, whispering in your ear. On a sunny day in Tillery's garden, ignoring the alarm clock. Touring each other's minds instead, chasing butterflies and laughter in the mead O. How you have unlocked eternity, like psyche revealed. End poem. Faziana, I'm going back to you.
I like the language that he chooses here. postmortem, picturesque, to reference the, I can't say it, Tuileries garden, which I'm actually not familiar with that garden, but perhaps it has the same kind of atmosphere as the image. It has this kind of classical feel to it. And I really like the idea of touring each other's minds instead. If you maybe you don't get to go through all of the fancy dates that you would like to, shopping on Rue Crémieux and going to a Shakespeare play, but exploring each other's minds, making that your journey is really cool. I enjoy that section especially. And there's some little bit of alliteration in there too, like shattered stillness. I've lost the other one. Moments we mourn. It's subtle alliteration, but it just sounds really nice as you read it.
Agreed. I liked waves roll along Heartside, white-capped bay of modern times. It was really, really interesting to me. as a discussion, the picture is that he wrote to a prompt 10 is of a woman with like bird wings on and kind of running through the forest, and I can picture these people kind of having this in your mind that you're thinking all these things. So postmortem, I sit in the keyhole of urn. Up to the urn of shared ashes where we mix as one. Really, really interesting, Scott, as always. Bobby, go for it.
This is one of those pieces that is best read and reread and digested slowly because there's so much craftsmanship. This is one of these pieces that is crafted. It's assembled. Almost like a jigsaw puzzle, a piece at a time. I sit in the keyhole to the urn of shared ashes where we mix as one. I mean, what an intriguing postmortem. What an intriguing intro. Shattered stillness, no vessel, just presence. It's delicate. There's enough metaphor in here to enhance the storytelling of shadow and light, clouds at battle, morning and night, the moments we mourn. How beautiful. There's some passages in here that just are exquisite. And the Tuileries was a royal residence, I believe, near the Louvre, and it has accompanying gardens. So that's what he's referring to. Like ignoring the alarm clock, touring each other's minds instead. What a beautiful line, touring each other's minds instead. I mean, this is a very intriguing, and like Psyche revived, Psyche being the a princess of outstanding beauty in Greek mythology who aroused Venus's jealousy and Cupid's love. So that tells you how exquisite this person is, and this is a figure of love, like Psyche revived. How you have unlocked eternity, like Psyche revived. This is someone who has resurrected the embers of love within the writer to a depth. A depth that they have expressed so eloquently in this. I mean, this is a gorgeous piece of work.
And it all makes much more sense now because I messed up. And this was actually from the previous contest that he put that in there, so he didn't get a chance to do it. So thank you, Scott, for doing that. It was a picture of a castle-like window that looks into a keyhole, so that makes sense where he was coming from. So thank you, Scott. That was my mistake. I didn't know it was from the previous one, but excellent, excellent poem, as always. I appreciate it. And everybody should run up, by the way, I say this all the time, and go buy Scott's book, For the Love of Poetry, and promote myself because he was gracious enough to use one of my pictures as the cover of his book. So really appreciate,
great,
Scott, you collaborating with me. And if I could give myself some self-promotion, my book is now on Kindle. And so if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for free. So go for it.
Oh, you maven of technology, you.
Yeah, you know, I decided to go for Kindle too, and you know, I just want to get it out there. So if anybody has Kindle, pick it up. If you have Kindle Unlimited, like I said, you can get it for free. But let's crank along here, and Faziana, since it is your turn to read, we have your poem up next. So I'm going to post it here and go for it.
It's loading.
Oh,
my internet always likes to pick the exact worst moment to, you know, decide to fail me. It's like it works when I'm reading everyone else's, and then as soon as it's my turn to read, it's like, what? I just don't work anymore.
It does it on purpose. It's watching you, Faziana, and knows
it. It does. You know, it's laughing at me because when it's not working, I also get this little picture of a dinosaur, and that dinosaur is mocking me. Okay. Here we go. It has loaded now.
There we go.
Inspired by the art of Daria Petrilli. Within me is a world densely populated by ideas, rooted in ideals, fertilized by experience. Overgrown worries suffocate beautiful memories, and invasive thoughts make fruitful ones scarce. When I call upon my speech, the best words fly away, startled by the noise of misfiring neurons. The heirloom seeds remain. I will plant them in the pain. My temple will bloom to rain. End poem.
Awesome read. And I really enjoyed this. I know some of this might be from the physical issues that you have had, I'm guessing, came upon. But I think almost everybody can relate to this. So within you, you have so much... you know, thoughts and information, and no matter, I think, how good of an artist you are, whether you're a musician or a sculptor or a poet, it's really hard to get your ideas out. You know, just even myself, I manage a team of people, I do training, and sometimes I just can't get my ideas out. You know, I mean, how many times have we all had our poems read, and you're like, okay, that's a great interpretation, but not what I was trying to say. Like, you can't get them out there. So I like the way you described it, where startled by the noise of misfiring neurons, the heirloom seeds remain, I will plant them in the pain, my temple will bloom to rain. And I thought that was a great way to look at the picture. It's really beautiful. I could definitely relate to this. And before we go to Bobby, did you want to say anything about your poem?
Well, you're right that it's somewhat inspired by my physical issues because I do have brain damage. So sometimes, you know, my words escape me. I still have lots of ideas, communicating them, not always my strong suit. So, of course, you know, I host a radio show and speak in front of people all the time and write because, you know, that's the logical thing to do when you have trouble with language. but I'm a rebel. So you captured that, and it was really just the image has, you know, all of this plant work in her, and then the birds that are flying out of her head. So I saw the birds as her ideas, and she's kind of looking sad and touching her temple, which made me think about when I have a headache. And when it's my temple will bloom in rain, I kind of went double with the temple because it was like my body is my temple in the sense, like, you know, it's a temple, like the, you know, the words, again, not my forte right now. The big building of, you know, divineness, but also the temple on your forehead. So sometimes when it's not being so majestic temple-like, it's like everything gets stuck in my temple. So that's what I thought of when I saw that image.
Very cool. The second stanza is the one that really gets to me because it's absolutely me. Overgrown worries suffocate beautiful memories, but invasive thoughts make fruitful ones scarce. If I'm worried about something, or think about something, it's almost a mental illness. I think I can't do anything else. Like it just takes me over until that thing is done. I can't concentrate on other things. I have to find. I mean, I'm very shocked. I'm not like an alcoholic or something. Seriously, because I really need to. If something's bothering me, I can't escape it. You know. So I completely relate there. Awesome. Thank you, Ophidiana. And Bobby, your thoughts? I would love to hear.
Well, of course, I loved it because Ophidiana wrote it. I love the way her mind works. I love the way she sees and interprets the artwork. And in this case, the double entendre in her last stanza was not lost to me. I really enjoyed that. I thought the subtlety of that was just exquisite. And the I don't know if it was an advertent or an inadvertent rhyme in your last stanza. But I would qualify this as a brevity. And I also was drawn to the second stanza. But the entire thing, I mean, just again, I find a piece that flows, that is contiguous in its thoughts, in the way it expresses itself. This one is a great example of that. Within me is a world densely populated by ideas. Overgrown worries suffocate beautiful memories. When I call upon my speech, the best words fly away. What a great way to characterize the prompt. Startled by the noise of misfiring neurons. This is a very... Ophidiana, I hesitate to say this to people, but this got to be one of the best damn things you've written. Seriously, it is elegant in its simplicity. It is so clear in its message, and it's just so beautifully written.
See, now I didn't say that because I say that every time she writes something. So you said it for me.
Yeah, well, it's true. She's an excellent writer. She's an excellent writer. I'm always delighted when I see her entries because I like looking at the world through the window of Ophidiana's eyes, because it always gives me a glimpse of something different.
Yes.
Well, I'm a little bit crazy,
absolutely.
So if you wanna be, you know, through the craziness for a little bit, I can give you that window.
I you know, somehow I feel a poem coming on in there. The glimpse through Ophidiana's eyes. I do like the way your spin on things. They're, you know, if they're a bubble shy of plum, who the hell cares? Because that's what makes you, and that's what gives them flavor and character.
And Ophidiana, to quote a very obscure quote you probably guys won't know from the cartoon show Futurama, you're better than normal. You're abnormal. And I was like, "That, like, yeah, you're right.
I love that show.
As the audience has heard me say on more than one occasion, the definition of normal is a setting on your dryer.
That's right. That's right. What's to be normal? That's boring.
Right.
Nobody would hang out with you in normal. That's not fun. All right. Yeah, Robbie said, I can imagine the title, Through My Funhouse Mirror Mind. That is a good title. That's a yeah, absolutely. So anyway, cool. Let's move on here. So we have another SoundCloud going on from our friend Ben Hart.
Oh,
and I'm excited about that. So yeah. I already posted that. It should be on there, and we'll wait for that SoundCloud.
Let's give it a listen.
Emotion, A Moment in Time, a poem by Ben Hart, written on April 15th, 2023, on 37 minutes to midnight. 1:15, an origami aviary, little winged poetry, burn me upon reading. Hello, love, it's been agony, the absence of you. I'm afraid how I feel will kill us all. And I want to, and I try to feel, but I die every time. 2:04. April laid me in that cradle and lied to mother that the hard part was over and that this was the smallest I'd ever be. And April said someday I'd be able to figure out how I'd ever get over my grief and promised I'd be loved like they're loved by me. Child of temperate spring, so eager to believe the world will not end when autumn comes, when the trees start to burn and let the wind pick them apart until only a naked twisting is left to await the rain's return. A sculpture to remind the beholder of growth in pursuit of light, that they'll weather the winter, and that in fact there'll come a dawn at the end of night. 3:20. She was a sight to behold to an unhappy man, doing the best he can to be glad, to be your friend, to understand the debt he's in. And she'd say, it may not be paradise, but it's a return to the times teardrops still filled your eyes before you blamed them for leaving you behind. Before she'd do the same, and leave him screaming, hold me in your heart, but don't worry. She knew from the start, even if he tore the heavens apart, they may never know his art. And therefore she'd still escape, living immortality. 4:23. And I keep falling asleep too fast to brush my teeth, become the beauty we had talked about, something quiet yet violently free. But sleep keeps us on a leash, whispering soft nothings to lure us in deeper. Remember December on Fleetwood Street, where the vassal lights were bright and many, but could not bring defeat to the darkness in the eyes of the villain from Kilkenny? And I guess I am in love again, but this time it's with all of them. At what point did this stop being empathy? And a cigarette is just a fuse by which I shoot fireworks into my veins, plan B for my grand suicide in case they get wind of plan A. And she would say, never mind the rain, as if that made it go away. And what's up with urban echoes, sonar distortions tossed from distant tongues, ricocheting from towers into open-top town cars, that dare preach of adventure to the anxious introvert as if they were not where they belong and should get up over the mountain. And I cannot watch movies anymore without a sense of displacement, dysphoria's favorite eraser, as if the script wasn't finished before they started filming the story of my life and so in the end I didn't save her, from the same inner exile I got lost in when I fought the cold instead of letting her warm my cheeks and settle my heart, and turn away from the wind instead of letting her guide me and carry me far. 5:23:23. Dearest James, you shouldn't have done that. We were circling love, and now you've gone and dove right into the saturnine eye of oblivion. And I needed you to show me how much of us is made up of the earth, and how much of us has died since birth. Take only what you need from it, but for fear the answer would be everything I never offered, and for fear of apathy I never asked if I'd ever be loved like they're loved by me. End poem.
Excellent, Ben, excellent. And I love, he just inspired me. I love that he actually put not only the date, but actually put the time that he wrote that, which I absolutely love. I'm gonna start doing that. Great read, Ben. Thanks so much. And Faizan, I'm gonna start with you. Did I hear once on your show that you were not only impressed with him because he does all his own artwork for his poems, but He usually writes these epics and has so much thought, and he's like 23 years old. Isn't that what you were telling me once about him?
Yes. I was shocked to find out how young he is because he has such wisdom in his work. I really expected him to be older, and I hadn't heard his voice at that point. And, I was shocked that he was so young. Not that young people can't be amazing, which clearly he is, but it's just, I don't know. He has a wisdom to him that I would expect. I certainly didn't have at 23 anyway.
Yeah, absolutely not. I can't tell you if I look back how dumb I was at 23. Almost as dumb as I am now. I've gotten a little smarter, but yes, I very 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 wise for his age. Absolutely.
He is, and a fantastic writer. One of my favorites on AP. He tends to break his poems down into these little sections, and each section is amazing, and then they all connect. I really like an origami aviary. You can picture all the little folded birds, but then burn me upon reading. So it's like these birds are just temporary, because as soon as you get that message, they'll be gone. And there's just this kind of ephemeral kind of feeling with the birds and with the words, where everything is going to disappear. And I want to, and I try to feel, but I die every time. And, you know, it's like you get burned up at the same time as what is being burnt, those messages. And the part with him in the cradle, and this was the, you lied to my mother that the hard part was over and this would be the smallest I've ever be, because you can feel so small sometimes, that imagine that you feel smaller than you did when you were a baby, like you have no control and you're just not significant and you feel so small. And then to feel like people lied to you when they said that you'd be able to get past your grief, and that you could feel loved, when you always love people stronger than it seems like is returned. And that's such a hard feeling to have. And I think a lot of people feel that more than they admit. And then when it talks about the fall, as much as I love the fall, autumn is my absolute favorite, I really like the dark twist that he has on it. When the trees start to burn and let the wind pick them apart till only a naked twisting is left. That is an intense description of the wind picking them apart after they burn. It's just very vivid and a strong sense that he feels like that tree, like he's been burnt and torn apart and is just a skeleton waiting to be watered with love and brought back to life. And then there's this anger towards this I think woman, the person who has left him, and I think by dying, kind of have the feeling that it's by suicide, although that might be because I read another poem of his recently where that happened, so I'm getting my poems mixed up. But I really like how he talks about smoking as plan B for suicide. It's much slower one, but it's there, which I shoot fireworks into my veins. It's sad. And we don't want to lose you, Ben, so I hope this isn't truly how you're feeling. We love you. Please keep writing. This is intense. There's so much feeling all throughout this, and it's just really incredible how he brings it all together. It's like a whole bunch of mini brevities that become an epic, and they're very connected. Wonderful.
Yeah, great interpretation. And you know what Ben reminds me is, I don't know if he does spoken word, but I really think that him doing spoken would be great, because his style is so emotional but also conversational. Like, it just, you'd see him up there just kind of doing this spoken performance. I would love to see him, or hope he does spoken word. That would be a great thing for the world for him to do that. Bobby, a lot to look at here. What did you think?
I was going to say, well, I think Faziana covered it all quite comprehensively. Now, I think we're sharing brain cells tonight, because this is quite a piece of work. His reading is superb. The emotion his voice carries in his reading, it just is so impactful. And his even though he's got these in almost like chapters or segments or however you want to describe the way he's got them divided, they hang together beautifully, almost like he almost writes in an anthology style, which is very easy to read. It's not disjointed. It flows. And he's got all the prompts listed at the bottom. The storytelling, is incomparable. The emotion is the emotion eludes description. I cannot assign an adjective to it, a descriptor to it, because it is so deep, it is so rich, it is so profound. The world will not end when autumn comes, when the trees start to burn and let the wind pick them apart, until only a naked twisting is left to await the rain's return. Such beautiful visual imagery. I tell you, I always call Pam Ray the queen of the metaphor. Well, I think we have a king here. Just beautifully, beautifully written. And you say he's only 23? There's an old soul in there. There is an old soul in there that pours forth on the page. She was a sight to behold to an unhappy man, doing the best he can to be glad, to be your friend, to understand the debt he's in. I mean, the depth of emotion with which he writes is so deeply affecting. You cannot read his work without feeling just a modicum of what he feels, what he writes. It's so emotive, so emotional. And what's up with urban echoes, sonar distortions tossed from distant tongues, ricocheting from towers onto open-top town cars, that dare preach of adventure to the anxious introvert, great phrase, anxious introvert, as a great alliteration, as if they are not where they belong and should get up over the mountain. This is a hell of a piece of writing. I mean, I wrote him a note, I think it was last week. I said, when are you publishing? He said, a book? I said, yes, I want one. His writing is so, it's beyond entertaining. It's enlightening. It is just, you get a touch of his emotions. I mean, because he bears his soul with his writings. And to me, that is very courageous. That speaks well of him and his confidence in his feelings, that he would share such intimacy with us. So on behalf of that, I say thank you, Ben Hart, for such a beautiful piece of writing.
Absolutely. I'm going to say his emotions are very emotional. How's that for a description from a so-called poet being me? There you go, exactly. But yeah, no, great, great personal emotive rights he always has. Cool. We are going to move on here. And I already forgot that I posted. I did. Oh, and Robbie noticed that the tone of the actual words went along so well with the tone of the music, which I was kind of captivated by Ben's reading, so I didn't notice that. But when I thought back, he's like, yeah, really, really did great. And yeah, Faziana, I feel like you spent a whole show on one or two of his poems, and we really could, and that's actually a great idea for a show. We'll have to do that someday. But we're going to move on to another great friend of the show, which is Jenny the Deep, who does change her name from time to time, but it is the same Jenny, I believe. Jenny, always great. I think what I'm guessing, too, from reading, I might be wrong, Jenny, but I think she does it based on kind of changing her name around based on kind of how she's, you know, how she's feeling, what she's kind of going through at the time, which I think is pretty cool. I'm boring and just put my real God-given Christian name. I didn't come up with a pet name, so probably should have.
Nom de plume.
But exactly. I believe it's my turn to read, but I'm gonna take advantage of it's not and just read anyway. We'll go from there. And
I think this needs a feminine voice.
It might. All right, then I will going to take your lead on that one. I'll read the next one, and you can read this one. Go for
it. Okay. Tragic Triangulations by Jenny the Deep. Triangulated love torn asunder in their hearts, twisted up in her webs of lies, tearing them apart. Had it all then let herself fall apart, fall in love with another. Only friends then grew into lust for each other. A fool's heart bleeds, drowning his lungs, as she treats others like gods and him like dung. One man suffers and the other endures with her withering, confusing love. It's then she murders, unintentionally ripping their hearts out, exposing her love for both from her own mouth, cost her not one but two beloveds from her life, disengaged, disenchanted, disheveled as she lied. Never able to find her true self, she died alone, weed-whacking roots out of a once happy home. End poem.
Awesome read. You're right. Great female voice needed for that one. And a great, you know, kind of exploration of selfishness, which I think is the biggest problem in the world that we have today and maybe you've ever had. So really great exploration of that, Jenny. Faziana, very curious on your thoughts on this.
I like the alliteration of disengaged, disenchanted, disheveled. I think this has, like, a really interesting way about talking about a love triangle, triangulated love torn asunder. That's a really cool way of talking about the love triangle. And then, you know, it takes ownership where this woman has destroyed everyone in what she did. With withering, confusing love, it's them she murders. Both of them, exposing her love for both from her own mouth. So she did this, and then she suffers for it because she loses them both. And I really love that last line, weed-whacking roots out of a once happy home. You know, the getting rid of the roots, getting rid of what was making that home a home is, you know, very destructive. But to describe it as weed whacking, like just like, just going to cut that down and tear out the foundations, that's a really powerful statement.
Yeah, I was drawn to that as well, too, and I lost it already. Yeah, the weed whacking roots of a once happy home. And I bought a house, an older house that does have some little bit of weed issues, like going around the foundation and around the different places. And it's very interesting. I have to either find ways to get rid. I have to find ways to get rid of them and re-cement, or I'm constantly weed whacking around the rock wall and so forth. And it's nature trying to come through and constantly destroy. It's constantly doing it, you know, throughout the spring and summer. So it's a really interesting metaphor there, Jenny. I enjoy that one a lot. And Bobby, another great brevity. We got lots of good brevities tonight.
Yes, yes. I'm looking at the prompt, which is when I posted this, I deliberately posted it as prompt 13 because it just stuck in my head, and it is an illustration of a woman between two men. And one is leaning on her shoulders, and all three hearts are joined by the vascular system. There are three hearts connected to each other. Excuse me. And these are not happy looking people. And the first man is holding the woman's hand while the man behind her is leaning on her shoulders, on the back of her neck. And she's touching his hand, and so there's the connection there, but it's tenuous. And I really like the way she interpreted that tragic triangulations. Great alliteration there. Triangulated love torn asunder in their hearts, twisted up in her webs of lies, tearing them apart. Had it all then let it herself fall in love with another. Only friends then grew into lust for each other. It's just beautifully done. The rhyming, she's got some assonance in there, and it's well done. Excuse me. And this is unintentionally ripping their hearts out, exposing her love for both from her own mouth. This is, excuse me, I'm having trouble with my COVID dry, unproductive cough this evening. Forgive me. And this is just never able to find her true self. She died alone, weed whacking roots out of one's happy home. Excuse me a second, I'm going to take a drink.
No problem, Bobby. Sorry about that. You okay?
Residual from COVID. I've got, excuse me, I've got a dry, unproductive cough that tends to manifest itself at inconvenient times, like first thing in the morning. This is almost a sonnet, roughly within the confines of that structure. She's taken some liberties with it, but again, it's superb storytelling. It is an inspired interpretation of the prompt. She has taken a prompt and woven a very complex story around it. And like Faziana, I like the alliteration, disengaged, disenchanted, disheveled, as she lied. And very, very deeply emotional. This is a very visceral piece. So Jenny the Deep has done a great job. And to you, I say, if you're having trouble with weeds, try white vinegar.
Ah, okay. Excellent.
Seriously.
White vinegar.
Seriously,
that's interesting.
No, seriously. I have paving stone pathways all the way around my house. And, of course, they're subject to the invasions of nature and little things that pop out between with annoying regularity and persistence. And I have a one-gallon pump sprayer that I fill with just straight white vinegar. And I go around about once a week during the summertime, and everything that starts popping its little head up out from between the paving stones, I hit it with a shot of white vinegar, and the next day it's crispy. And it's simple chemistry. You're creating a hostile environment. It's hyper-acidic environment where the plant cannot survive. And it's environmentally friendly, and it's cheap.
Huh. Yeah, I will definitely check that out. My problem is that I got some of the foundation is a little bit gone. There's weeds growing because there's dirt there. So I have to. That's like a temporary fix. It's not dangerous. It's not, the house isn't falling down. I have to figure out how to cement it. I'm not a real man. I don't know how to fix things. I'm just learning now how to do this stuff. I'm learning now since I own a house. I have to how to fix things. So,
when it comes to mortar or cement, you might want to hire a professional, because if you don't mix it just right and it cooks wrong, it'll crumble or it won't set.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I am. I've done a bunch of things myself, but this stuff I have to hire professionals for coming up that I will be doing.
Oh yeah.
Cool. All right. So, and Aisha J was listening, but she got kicked off. So I'm going to send her the link again. I just said Aisha J was listening to the show, but she sent me something saying she kicked off the link. So I'll send it to her again. But thanks for listening, Aisha. I appreciate it. Let's move on here. I'm going to read one now. If somebody can, while I'm reading this, if one of you can post, either, Faziana or Bobby can post on the chat, the link to the show and the phone number, that would be great. And I'm going to read one by Garden Delights. Did I post it? I can't remember if I did or not. I did. And this one is.
Oh, thank you, Faziana.
Thank you, Faziana.
Click on the draw.
This is called A Balcony of Cranes. A proud stride, exhibiting ideal posture with the right dollop of haughtiness. Curvaceous neck held just so, admired by many. A crown balanced as though not there at all. Feathers in fine dressage, flowering reward. A habit of pacing to and fro, back and forth, thoughts postponed. Only the action exists in intimidation of her crane friends. This practice posing is for rodents taking photographs, selling to dissolute media, publicizing private lives, weaving a cloth of lies, an ugly business. Who gets hurt and who profits? Consumers ooze with envy. Immortality banks its foul coins. The woman feels sullied, yet she did no wrong. The perfidy of the public draws her blood. Yet our grand dam refuses to cry. Through her tutorious eyes try, she glances as her feathered pets the true innocence present. Breathing in her resolve once again, she imitates their walk, suspending her thinking. Soon only crowned cranes pace this balcony. End poem. And I just want to comment real quickly here that the cranes, you know, we say there's peacocks and all these other things, but we don't think of cranes. When I think of cranes, they really do look majestic. We have cranes around here in Massachusetts sometimes, and they really are kind of proud, majestic, beautiful birds that don't really they get overlooked by swans and peacocks and other things. But I think cranes are really, really beautiful and proud and strong birds that I think need a little bit more part in pop culture, in positive pop culture. Bobby, let's be starting a lot with Feziano. Let's give her a starting break and start with you.
Of course. I agree. I also like cranes. I think that they are as you will see in one of the other pieces that also features origami cranes, cranes are a revered bird in Japanese culture. They are considered the symbols of longevity and long life. And so, and in this case, I think the crane that is pictured in the illustration is a gray-crowned crane, if I'm not mistaken, which I've always they're very distinctive looking with that. It's almost like a lyrebird, and with a very flamboyant tail. This has a very flamboyant crest on it, and it looks very regal. It looks like it has it looks like it's wearing a very it looks like it's wearing a crown. So, and it's a crown dresser. That's why it's called Crown Crane. I like the piece. I like the way she's drawn a parallel to the woman and the cranes, and how she the woman is emulating the perform or the behavior of the cranes almost to gain in herself the serenity that she sees in these birds. She said, yet our grande dame refuses to cry, though her traitorous eyes try. She glances at her feathered pets, the true innocence present. And she feels sullied, yet she did no wrong. The perfidy of the public draws her blood. Great vocabulary, great word use in this, great storytelling, and I think a very, very inspired, very interesting interpretation of that particular prompt in viewing the female and the woman in the picture with the desire to feel the serenity, feel the peace of mind that the cranes feel. Breathing in her resolve once again, she imitates their walk, suspending her thinking. Soon only gray-crowned cranes pace this balcony. So she's become one of them in her thinking, in her behavior. So very nicely done. I really like this piece.
Agreed 100%. And Feziana, let's go to you.
I really liked it too. And I do love cranes. I think they're beautiful. And they have an elegance to them that matches the woman in this picture. I like how it talks about the paparazzi. you know, taking the photographs, just during her private life, kind of like getting in the way of her life as they overwhelm her with their pictures. And it refers to them as rodents. Now, I have a feeling the birds would walk haughtily around rodents, and so she tries to as well. But also, it makes me think about people who, like nature photographers, if they're not respectful of the land, are possibly, you know, harmful to the birds who they're trying to capture images of, and they're like showing off like how beautiful they are, but they're ruining the ability to actually be beautiful in nature. And you know, maybe photographers are like that with humans too. Sometimes if they don't respect boundaries, then it causes conflict. So the thing that you're taking a picture of is no longer that moment because you've infringed on it. True innocence present are these birds who didn't have, you know, asked for this life. Now, mind you, if they're anything like swans, who are also considered beautiful, majestic birds with curvaceous necks, they are evil. They are vicious little buggers. So I don't know if a crane is. I've never gotten close enough. I'm curious. I really like the connections that she made here between the person and the birds, and it's just really thoughtfully put together.
Yeah, I don't want to get too close to a crane. That beak looks like it can do some serious damage. Robbie said, that drives me crazy being a nature photographer myself. I can't understand why I wouldn't have empathy for what you find so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, you know, you should be respecting that. Try Canadian geese. Yeah, they are vicious. We've had turkeys in our yard, and they're crazy. Birds can be pretty, you know, it's their old dinosaur roots, right, coming out and still trying to attack us.
They are predatory. Right. They're aggressive.
They are. All right, aggressive. I think we got time for one more. I got another brevity here we could probably squeeze in.
Where's the time
gone? Let's see here. I know. Faziana, I'm going to call on you one last time, if you don't mind. I think it's your turn. If you want to read this brevity by Hats, that would be great. And then we'll do some quick comments, and that's it.
Okay. Garden by Hats. This garden is full of fruit trees. The fruits, like little lanterns, glisten on branches, golden and red ripe fruits. A tree. The serpent lurks in tree's roots. A woman stands in the shade of a branch with satin skin hand, reaching for the brightest apple, her hair waving around backbone as hundreds of snakes. The woman, she, once had happy, sunny disposition, simple in her feelings, until she met him and fell into the bitter and sour sleep of adult truth. End poem.
Excellent read, and I'm guessing that reaching for the brightest apple is a biblical reference. And, yeah, if you're going to get one of those apples of the forbidden fruit, might as well go for the brightest one, right, and go for it. And then waving around the background is hundreds of snakes. So really interesting take on the Garden of Eden. We got about 6 minutes for comments. If you want to do a couple of minutes, Bobby.
You're right. It has some interesting biblical references with a different spin on them. Instead of her leaving grace from the snake and the apple, the last stanza says, until she met him and fell into the bitter and sour sleep of adult truth. Her departure from grace was not the apple and not the snake. It was the meeting of the male, which I thought was an interesting departure. Where Eve is blamed for the ejection from the Garden of Eden because of her eating the apple from the Tree of Knowledge. In this case, it's the man which I thought was an interesting spin on this, and definitely an interesting take on the prompt.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Faze, you got to read it.
I kind of thought it had Greek mythology roots to it. With the hundreds of snakes waving around her backbone, I thought of that as Medusa. And Medusa was, you know, actually a pretty, you know, beautiful woman until there was a problem with Zeus. She met Zeus. Zeus's wife got really mad about their affair, turned her into the ugly Gorgon, and then it was again a man who was the one who, you know, turned her to stone, and her happy, sunny disposition was no longer a reality because of these two men that made her bitter and sour and then stone. So as much as this does definitely have some Garden of Eden connections, for me it was about Medusa.
Wow, I like it. Great information.
I really got to get up on my mythology. My son and my wife are very into it. You guys always are way ahead of me on that stuff. I gotta read much more mythology, let me tell you.
I was reading Edith Hamilton's mythology when I was 8 years old.
I gotta do more.
I've been saturated by it since I was a kid. I love it.
Again, all my mythology comes from Star Wars movies. That's where I get most of mine. So. All right, cool. So we have just enough time for you to close us out, Bobby, and I appreciate everyone joining. If you want to close us out,
okay,
and we're good to go for the night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. You make a great evening even better. And I will leave everyone with a parting thought. You know what the definition of mythology is?
I don't. What is it?
Someone else's religion.
Ah, right. Just like the definition of science is magic explained.
Yes, and the definition of mythology is someone else's religion. So
that's a good one. I like that.
I've always liked that. I don't know where I got it. I don't know if I came up with it or if I read it somewhere. But anyway, so next week or the next show is going to be the first phase of a doubleheader. Well, we're going to have the series Too Much of a Good Thing. We're going to have two contests back-to-back. Tomas Alan Copera, his artwork. I just when I started harvesting his artwork, I just kept finding it and finding it and finding it and finding it. It was all so amazing that after 70 pieces in the file, I went, no, I can't do this. So I realized that I've got enough for two very healthy contests, so that's what we're going to do over the first two shows in May. We're going to do doubleheader on Tomas Alan Copera's artwork, and it's going to be under the heading of Too Much of a Good Thing. And the last show is let me pull up the calendar, make sure I'm speaking. Okay. The last show for us in May is going to be the 27th, and let's see, what is it? You know what? we may have to interrupt our double header. Let's see, what's today? Today's the 29th. Our next show is the 13th. And then the 27th. Okay, so their doubleheader with Tomas Alan Copera is going to be interrupted by a Memorial Day show. So we're going to have a doubleheader, but it's going to be between the two contests. It's going to be Memorial Day contest, and it's going to be a Hymn to the Fallen in honor of Memorial Day, and it's going to be combat artists and their artwork. From World War I, World War II, the conflicts subsequent to that, the Gulf and Vietnam. So I'm going to do that in honor of Memorial Day, and hopefully everyone will be appropriately inspired by this wonderful artwork that I've been gathering. So anyway, with that note, we are done. So thank you, Dan, once again.
Good night, everyone. Yep, absolutely. Have a great night, everyone.
Yep, and thank you for everyone that was on the board. Good night.